CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to another fascinating personality who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here is Steve Klein.
William James said, "If you care enough for a result, you will most certainly attain it." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who get results. Our first playmaker found his true passion in the third grade. He began his first business a few months later using an Apple computer from his parents. While our next playmaker has developed a mobile app and a competitive social network for sports fans that's building a network of iPhone video correspondents. With us today is the CEO of a company that has grown his company to over 180 Rocketeers and completed more than 180 iOS and Android apps since the company's founding in 2008. While our next CEO is a sports media veteran who has spent most of his career in Silicon Valley, where he worked in corporate sponsorship and digital media for the San Francisco 49ers and the San Jose Sharks. These great playmakers are Calvin Carter. Calvin is CEO of Bottle Rocket, and Kirk Barrage. Kirk is CEO of Fan Media Network, and we're going to begin today's show with Kirk. Kirk Barrage is a sports media veteran who has spent most of his career in Silicon Valley, as I mentioned, and San Francisco, where he worked in corporate sponsorships and digital media for the San Francisco 49ers, San Jose Sharks, and his first company, Sports Ad Marketplace. His latest pioneering move is founding Fan Media Network, a mobile app that's building a network of iPhone video correspondents for sports fans to connect and share videos about any of the top 200 NFL, NCAA, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and Major League Soccer teams across the U.S. and Canada. Fan Media Network is the first media company in the world where the viewers vote to help determine the network's correspondents. We're going to talk about that. Kirk, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Well, you have an interesting background, but let's focus specifically on what you're doing now, because from talking before the show started, your business is rather unique, Fan Media Network. Tell us about the business, and what is Fan Media Network all about?
Sure. It's a mobile app available on the Apple App Store. It's a free download, and we're building a network of iPhone video correspondents for the top 200 pro and college sports teams. It's through voting and competition, and it's also a mobile social network. They say the next big social network is going to be one that connects people that don't know each other. So sports has the power to do that. We're in Dallas, Texas today, you and I, but if we were on the street in Chicago and we saw someone wearing a Dallas Cowboys jersey and that happened to be our favorite team, we would, not knowing that person, give them a pass because they like the same team as us. So there's a degree of trust and respect and a common bond there, and it's very powerful for sports. So our network is for people who like to make videos on their iPhones, or not necessarily people who like to make videos or not, but they can still watch and vote and connect with other fans of their favorite teams or other fans in their area through in-app texting. So it's a mobile social network.
Interesting. I was at the state fair last week, and I saw a couple of a husband and wife wearing a Cubs jersey. And being originally from Chicago, I gave them the high five when I saw them. Didn't know who they were. They didn't know who I was. But you're right. There's an affinity when you have the same sports team that you like. Well, let me talk more about that app. I download the app. I'm a strong sports fan. I have maybe three or four teams that I'm following. What would I do with that?
So you build your profile. You pick your favorite teams to express yourself to other sports fans so they can see that you like the Chicago Cubs and the Bulls and the Bears and whoever you might like. And then if you are a video maker, like really you can't go to a ball game anymore. Everyone's got their phones out. They're making videos. They just don't have a place to put it that's organized for pro and college sports fans. So if you are a video maker, you can make videos 30 seconds or less to do a little storytelling of your experience at the game, or it can even be when you're at home watching or out and about watching. And if you're not a video maker, you can, like I mentioned, you can watch videos, you can vote, you can share videos, and you can find other fans in the app through search, and you can text with them. So it's a social network, the
sports equivalent of LinkedIn, Pinterest, Facebook, where you can now organize and share all those things with like-minded people.
That's right. And it's an open network. Those networks are closed, private networks. Sometimes these videos exist on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, but those are closed, private networks. You would have to be friends with Seattle Seahawks fans to see Seattle Seahawks fan videos on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Our network is an open network because sports fans don't hide. They're like, hey, I like Notre Dame. Here I am. Check me out.
Well, let's before we go any further, I want to make sure people know exactly how to get that app. FanMediaNetwork.com is your website. So how do people go ahead and get the app?
They would go to the Apple App Store.
Or they can get it from your website.
Yes, there's a link from the website, FanMediaNetwork.com, to go to the App Store.
So what's your story? How did you get started with all this? This is rather unique.
Sure. I grew up in Indiana, and like a lot of people, I was a fan. And I also played sports, every sport. And I was a student athlete in college. I pole vaulted and triple jumped and made the short relay team. And then I have a degree in journalism, and I started out as a media relations intern with the Indiana Pacers and the NBA back in the day. And then I worked in sales and marketing, doing corporate sponsorships and digital media. I worked on the team side as an employee for the San Francisco 49ers, the San Jose Sharks. I did work with the Big Ten Conference and so forth. And I've been an entrepreneur for 11 years and really got my inspiration and experience out in Silicon Valley in San Francisco. When I worked for those teams, I had clients like Yahoo and Apple. And that was really my inspiration. And I would get more excited when I would go onto their corporate campus and see the CEOs of these type companies or other entrepreneurs in that area. Then I would get more excited then than if a former player came to team headquarters or something. And so I did something about it. And I've been an entrepreneur for 11 years, and that's my background.
So where did everything change for you? How did this all come about?
Well, let's see. I just figured that, if people – to me, the real American dream is being an entrepreneur. It's not owning a home. I've owned a home, and it's being an entrepreneur. And I figured there's people that come over here on boats or through borders. I'm already here. Why can't I do it? And so I just challenged myself, and that's kind of how I got going on it. And then, once you – do it and cross that line or whatever, it's addicting. Or if you're really competitive, or if you just have a drive and you don't ever quit, and if you're able to will things to happen, and if you can persevere and learn to be uncomfortable a little bit, those are kind of my motives.
That's big, to have the will and the perseverance, because you're stepping out into the unknown when you start a company, and it could be successful, it could fail, but there's only one way to find out. And that's by doing it. And that's one of the reasons I said at the very beginning of the show, you are a kind of person that looks for results. Well, the show is called Playmakers Talk Show. What are some of the playmaking moves you've made in your business or your life that's really led to your success?
Sure. I would say, first of all, just growing up, I learned how to work from my dad. My dad worked outside. He worked for the phone company. He only missed 3 days of work in 37 and a half years. And he also put out a garden and grew 30 different vegetables, and he wasn't even a farmer. And they opened the YMCA doors for him at 4 a.m, and he worked out there for 45 years. They still have his locker glass encased in my hometown at the YMCA. So I learned how to work from him, and learned how to be competitive. I have an older brother who's 2 years older than me, and we competed in the yard every day in some kind of sport. So that's kind of where that stuff started. And then just my own mind. I always have my own ideas, and I always know exactly what I want to do at every stage of my career. And I'm someone who, takes risks and does something about it. I don't just sit and wonder and all that. I go for it. And so that's kind of how I really got my start and how I keep going and things like that.
Well, I can see how you got a lot from your father. He was very focused on getting done what he wanted to get done. You picked a lot of that up from him, and the competitiveness, too, with your brother. But besides your father, do you have any mentors that have really had a major influence? Because you've worked with a number of sports teams, but between school and sports and other businesses, who have been a big influence in your life?
Sure. I had great teachers and great coaches growing up in school and in sports. And when I worked for the San Jose Sharks, I had a mentor. His name was Matt Levin. And He took the Sharks on the World Wide Web back in 1995. They were one of the first teams in the world to launch a commercial website. Seattle Mariners were the first. It was mariners.org. I know you like trivia.
A little trivia there.
There you go. And that was during the baseball strike as a customer service to service the fans. But the first, one of the first .coms was the San Jose Sharks website. So he's someone that, you know, kind of mentored me a little bit, or I just kind of made him mentor me. And then when I left the 49ers in 2004 to become an entrepreneur, he introduced me to a guy who's really been my mentor the last 11 years, a guy by the name of Tom Bondi. And he lives in San Jose, and he works, runs the emerging business unit for a leading accountancy firm out in Silicon Valley. And so he and also our legal counsel, Lori Miller, and she played on the 1980 USA team, Team USA women's basketball team. They boycotted that year to Moscow, but she played at Kansas State. But both of them have been doing business in Silicon Valley for over 25 years, 30 years. And they taught me a lot of deal structure, and they were with me on my first company, which was a small success. They saw me execute. And so this time around, they've really protected me and educated me, and now I know the right questions to ask them. So I would consider them to be mentors.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about, a little more as we finish up, about Fan Media Network. I noticed that you can compete for four different things on the network. Can you talk a little bit about that, the things you can compete for?
Sure. Fans can compete to be to get voted up to become an official iPhone video correspondent covering their favorite team for Fan Media Network for a season, or they can compete to get their videos voted up so their videos get displayed on their favorite team's channel in the app, or they can compete to win prizes from our partners, and we partner with teams, leagues, sponsors, and broadcast media companies. Some of the prizes that they could win would be tickets to the game, special access, media credentials, team gear or merchandise. And then a final thing they can compete for is to earn money.
So what is next for Fan Media Network? Where are you going with all this?
Well, we're always developing our product. So we have a couple new features and functionality that we're going to be introducing soon. So we're doing that. And then partnerships. You're going to see us partner with probably a big media company next. That's, you know, we want to get this thing as big as we can, as quick as we can. And we could do it independent, but, you know, partnering with a big media company will really help us get there quicker.
One more time so those fans can know how to do all this. Your website is fanmedianetwork.com, but tell everybody again how they can get your app.
They can go to the Apple App Store and search either Fan Media or Fan Media Network. It's a free install on the Apple App Store.
They can also get that at our website, which is playmakerstalkshow.com. Or Kirk, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
You bet. Thanks, Steve.
Kirk Berridge of Fan Media Network, again, fanmedianetwork.com. We're going to take a short break, but don't go away. We're going to be back talking about a company that actually puts those apps together. His name is Calvin Carter. He is CEO of Bottle Rocket. Back with Calvin right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And our guest this segment is Calvin Carter. Calvin is the founder and CEO of Bottle Rocket, an award-winning mobile strategy design and development company focused on connecting users with information, brands, and entertainment. Calvin, who was recently named Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year for 2013 for the Southwest Area North Region, has grown Bottle Rocket over 180 Rocketeers and completed more than 180, and counting, iOS and Android apps since the company's founding in 2008, as well as passionately building experiences for streaming devices, wearables, VR headsets, and connected TV. Now, the company's apps have won numerous awards, including an unprecedented number of Apple Hall of Fame awards, and frequently appear at the top of their categories on the App Store. Their clients include, among many, NBC Universal, Coca-Cola, Starwood Hotels and Resorts, PetSmart, and Mary Kay. Well, Calvin, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about one of your favorite quotations, because I saw this a couple of times, which is, the most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. Now, why is that important to Bottle Rocket?
I love that because it's not only a tongue twister, it's a brain bender. So let's go over it again. The most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. It really, as a leader, or really in any walk of life, it really gets you to continue to remember that your number one reason being here is to do one thing. If you're going to be the best at something, you got to pick the thing. And then your whole job is to remember what that is, hold that up for everyone to remember, and always walk towards it every single day of every way you do it.
Well, it seems like many people get diffused. They're not focusing on their main thing. Other minor things get in their way.
Exactly. Small businesses, unfortunately, they get distracted by, you know, sales opportunities that might take them away from their core gift. But you have to have strong discipline, especially in the early years of your business. Again, if you've got to pick the thing and you've got to stick to it, you have to have the discipline. And you also have to really communicate clearly what that thing is, pushing forward so that you can enroll others in your vision, both, you know, clients, partners, fellow staff, et cetera.
Now, we're going to talk a lot about that, specifically culture with your business, but let me take you back to basically two dates, one when you were about 9 years old, and then we'll take us up to March 6, 2008, a special day in your life. Mm-hmm. Tell us what happened when you were 9 years old and you joined your parents at a YPO meeting.
So I was fortunate enough to have very generous parents who would take me on a lot of trips, and one of the trips was a YPO family event, and the adults would go off to various business seminars and education seminars, and the kids would, you know, go play someplace. And I begged my mom, please take me with you to the business seminars. She didn't at first, and then she felt bad and came back and got me at lunch and took me in to one of the seminars. She said, just whatever you do, sit in the back, don't say anything, and you probably won't get kicked out. When she came back at the end of the day, I was at the front of the class helping the instructor teach the group. But what the seminar was about was an Apple reseller. Had Apple IIs on all these desks with all these business owners, and he was trying to introduce the concept of using computers inside a business. And I had never seen or touched a computer before, but there was like an immediate natural connection, and I just fell in love right then and there.
And from there, I believe you talked your parents into buying an Apple for their business.
For the business.
Which you commandeered.
Yes, it found its way into my bedroom 2 weeks later after it didn't work out at the office. And that started my career in computers.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but you did have a business prior to starting your app business. And I believe it was in the dating business.
Well, again, when I was nine, I was looking for something to do with a business that I could run on that Apple II. And so I had a dating bulletin board. And a bulletin board is, of course, when one computer calls another computer over a telephone line. And so from 3:30 in the afternoon when I would get home from school till 8:30 at night when my mom told me to turn off the computer and go to bed, I ran a business, embarrassingly enough, called the Apple Man Love Connection, that for $3 for an unlimited lifetime membership, you could log in, fill out a profile, and be matched to someone else. And this is a point that clearly I was way before my dating years. I had no interest in dating. It was just simply the only bulletin board system that I could hack and get running on my computer.
Oh, that was back in the day. This now brings you up to being the date of March 6, 2008.
Yep.
I think it was in bed with your wife and watching TV, and you saw an announcement from Steve Jobs. Talk about that.
Yeah, so it was one of Steve Jobs' many famous keynotes. And in this case, like you said, Kelly, who was pregnant with our now six-year-old twin daughters, was asleep next to me. And I had my laptop on my lap, you know, burning my legs off and watching the keynote, the Steve Jobs keynote. In this particular keynote, he was announcing to the world that he was opening the iPhone to third-party developers. So it was obviously dark outside, but it might as well be, you know, bright as day, because I saw right then and there the thing that I wanted to do for the rest of my foreseen life.
And all this, and the rest is history from 2008. Well, let's talk about your business, because it started slow. You developed it. You had, I believe you mentioned as we were talking earlier, you had 8 apps you developed in those first 6 months.
Yeah.
Tell us how successful those 8 apps were.
So the next morning after that, you know, watching that keynote, I did the one thing I could do, which is just put one step, one foot in front of the other, and that was to go to Office Depot, buy graph paper, buy pencils, and start sketching apps. I sketched about 30 different app ideas. And everyone has to remember, this is before the App Store was ever out. We didn't know what apps were. We had no idea if there was going to be even an economy or a business around this. So this was just passion and love. I wanted to do this, and I could not help myself from doing this.
Whether it was successful or not, this was your life.
Exactly. And in fact, there was a lot of lack of success. So you mentioned that there were about 8 apps by the end of 2008. And the first one was a failure, and the second one was a failure going all the way. There was only one out of the 8 that made enough money to kind of keep me being able to move on down the road. But the interesting thing was, is fast forward just a couple of months after that, we had the honor of pitching NPR, National Public Radio, for their business, their flagship mobile application that was going to stream radio all over the world and all these other great, great features. But because we had this portfolio of 8 apps, which were very well-designed and performant applications, they were not financially successful, but they were really great additions to the App Store. Those helped me build a muscle memory that I was able to use to quickly ideate and deliver strong value to NPR. It was a very competitive environment, 11 different companies going after this. And it turns out that even just in a few months that, you know, we had the most experience. And so that ability of kind of pushing through your failures is what led to that success. So I don't see those 8 apps or the 7 out of the 8 as failures. I see those as a pathway to success.
You know, 7 years is a long time, and it's gone very quickly for the app business. You then, as you're building your business, had your first follower. Talk about that concept, then we'll talk about the culture of Bottle Rocket.
Sure. So, you know, there's a point at which, you know, the founder cannot go any further without a first follower. And there's this kind of a goofy YouTube a video out there. I think if you YouTube first follower shirtless freak, you will find the short video that will really drive home what I'm trying to get across. But really, the first follower, the first person who is going to bet their life and bet their family's future on your vision, that's the most powerful thing. So I believe the first follower can be argued as being more important than the founder, him or herself.
Well, you have an interesting culture. That's part of your culture, the first follower. But interesting culture in your business. Let's talk about that and why Bottle Rocket is so unique. And let's also talk about your 50,000-square-foot office, too, and sure, how that's set up.
Yeah. So we're really happy about where we are now. In January, we moved into a large office that we're able to design from the ground up. It's very unique in Dallas, if not North America. It is, you know, there is zero offices across the organization. We all have the same desk, the same, you know, either, you know, MacBook Air or 15-inch Mac Pro Retina. We all have 27-inch, you know, cinema displays from Apple. We have strong consistency. Every single desk is the same. Every single chair is the same. We, you know, project teams work together, so we don't have engineers in one corner and artists in another, separate and not communicating. We bring groups together who are working on the same project. So engineers, quality assurance professionals, project managers, artists, strategists sit together. They don't communicate through email. They just lean over and say, hey, what do you think about this? It's a very lean communication style. We're surrounded with whiteboards. It's impossible to find a place to hang a picture at Bottle Rocket because every wall is a whiteboard. We believe in working publicly, putting your ideas not in front of you on your screen, but behind you on a large whiteboard where you can debate and be challenged and challenge others and really share ideas publicly. We believe in a lo-fi approach. From the day when I started sketching apps with pencil and paper to this day, we still start our extremely hi-fi applications with lo-fi techniques, dry erase markers, pencils and paper, things like that. it's beyond an open office environment. It's a completely flat office environment. And the what's good for our building our projects is also what's good for running our business. And so I sit in the same type of a pod area, and I'm surrounded by my CFO and my head of business development and head of innovation and head of solutions and delivery. And we run the business the same way we run our projects. When you don't have a door, you don't need an open door policy. It's amazing how much minutia and unimportant things fall away. And then you start really focusing on the work, connecting with others, communicating better, and building better products.
So you are beyond just the app business. You're in the creativity business, and you allow people to work together and build off of each other.
Correct. Bottle Rocket attracts a lot of very creative people, and not just like a visual creative with phenomenal artists, but our engineers, our quality assurance professionals, our project managers, our strategists, our information architects, our financial and operations teams, all creative. We're all here to make something. At the core DNA of a Rocketeer is we are builders. We build things. We love those things that we build. We come together. We give each other the space and the respect and the trust and the responsibility to make good choices, move forward, and do what they think is the right thing to do. And that's the core of our culture, is trust and treating everyone like an adult.
You mentioned a few moments ago about the difference between lo-fi and hi-fi. Specifically, how does that relate to each other? Where do you start and where does it end up?
So it's interesting. You know, Bottle Rocket has sought out to build some of the most comprehensive, capable, mission-critical, brand-critical mobile experiences that large global brands have. We build the things that are core to a brand's product, service, and delivery. Very important stuff. But we start with simple things like sketching something out or drawing ideas on a dry erase board. And one of the reasons we do that, this low fidelity ideation to a high fidelity execution, is we have found that if you have a high fidelity ideation, if you're working really hard to build wireframes on your computer, or you're investing a lot of time in mock-ups and things like that, then maybe you don't have that good of an idea, but you're not willing to throw it away because you've invested so much in it. But if you're literally drawing something in informally on a dry erase board, if it's not a great idea, you just erase it and start over again. So you can move faster, you can iterate much quicker. You never get connected to an idea. You're interested in the outcome, but you're not connected to any one idea. And you're willing to kill off ideas in the service of building another idea. And that you cannot get if your whole process is high fidelity.
One of the things you mentioned earlier was being in a pod system as you are, people can move in and out of projects very, very easily.
Yeah.
So it sounds like an interesting setup. Tell everybody how they can find out more about Bottle Rocket.
So our website is bottlerocketstudios.com. We are very interested in meeting other passionate people who love the things that we're doing, who are looking to do the best work of their lives, and that really want to work in a place where they can be challenged by others, they can check their ego at the door, and they can focus on building amazing things with amazing people.
Well, if you're a passionate person, you want to talk to Calvin, because as you heard in this interview, he's extremely passionate. I'm just sitting across from him, and you can't see the passion, but it's come through in his voice. Calvin, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks. It's an honor.
Calvin Carter, founder and CEO of Bottle Rocket. This has been a terrific show. Thank you all so much for joining us. Thank our guest, Kirk Barrage, who is CEO of Fan Media Network, and Calvin Carter, CEO of Bottle Rocket. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.